here's a look at how we ended up where we are today.
I was elected to go down to City Hall to end the gravy train. Yes, I'm human, I made mistakes, but I'm working out every day. I have a lot of work to do. I'm not stepping down, I guarantee you're gonna see a change. I guarantee I'm working out every day. Folks, I'm one of those, you're gonna see a change.
So why should the public believe you?
I do not use crack cocaine.
Yes, I have some crack cocaine.
You didn't ask the correct question. So I wasn't lying.
Marijuana while you've been there.
Yes.
Crack while you've been there.
Yes.
And you purchase drugs yourself.
Yes. I came forward and now I'm getting punched.
Come on forward to see me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special mini-sode of Pop Fishbowl. I am your host, Ezekiel. It is Wednesday, March 23rd, almost the end of the month. Holy fire roasted trouts, everybody. This is a very special episode, and the reason I want to do a very special episode is that the former mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford, died yesterday morning. I have very complicated feelings when it comes to Rob Ford. If you ask any of my friends who know me personally, they'll say to you quite bluntly that I have a bit of an obsession with Rob Ford. That's probably true. I do own three books in my house that are just on his legacy and his divisive figure, both politically and as a man. And I guess the reason I wanted to do this is I needed to get my feelings out. I heard the news yesterday, and I'm still in a state of shock. It doesn't feel real. I feel like I was hit by kind of a brick train, if you will. And so I guess I just wanted to go back to the beginning. The first time I had heard of Rob Ford was back in 2010. He had just he became elected. And there was a report on CBC that the mayor of Toronto had phoned the police dispatch, and he had said, and by the way, excuse my language, but I need to say this in the full context, the mayor of Toronto had supposedly said to the dispatch operators, "Don't you bitches know I'm Rob fucking Ford, the mayor of this city." And I was just shocked that it, you know, and of course the question comes out, is this real? Like, I have to know more. One thing that you should know about me is that I'm a bit of a, like, as a writer and as a journalist and just as a news junkie and as a political junkie, I'm obsessed with all these things. Obviously, my love of politics have grown over the years as I've gotten older as an individual. And I'm a Canadian, if the few listeners that listen to this podcast don't know. And of course, it's all regional and stuff, and so I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the politics that were going on in Toronto. I don't live in Toronto. So when I heard the story, I was just kind of staggered. I was flummoxed. I phoned my uncle, who lives in the Toronto area, and I said, "You got to tell me about this Rob Ford guy." And of course, you know, my uncle, who is a colorful character in his own right, told me his own stories and his own ideas and opinions of Rob Ford. And so that was the first time I had heard of him. And then, of course, like a lot of the residents of Toronto, and then, of course, residents of Canada, and even the world, we all learned of Rob Ford in 2013 when there were allegations from the Toronto Star and Gawker that there was a crack video that the mayor of the largest city in Toronto was caught on film smoking crack cocaine with known drug dealers. And of course, those are huge allegations. The Toronto Star and Robin Doolittle and Kevin Donovan, who were the reporters at the time, had a lot of flack for that. They got a lot of hate mail. A lot of people didn't believe them because it's a huge allegation to put on anyone, but let alone the mayor of that city. So a lot of people, and of course, and that's kind of when my obsession grew. I don't know if I can really articulate for people other than just saying I have feelings. There are certain things that interest me, and I guess I'm caught up in kind of train wreck TV. And I think one of the things that is so interesting about Rob Ford and so divisive is that he just kind of tells it as it is. And he was unpredictable. He was predictable in the fact that, like, of his politics, but he was unpredictable in that you never knew what he was going to do, you never knew what he was going to say. And I guess there was a little bit of envy on my part because I was living in a very small town in Saskatchewan at that point. Saskatchewan is the a province in Canada, and I was living in Watrous. I was living in Watrous, Saskatchewan, writing my and doing research for my first book. And hearing all these stories of Rob Ford at the time, while this crack scandal is going on, and being envious, because as a journalist and stuff, and I wanted to be there. I wanted to be at City Hall because you never knew what he was gonna do or say, and it's ask any journalist, that is exactly the front row seat that you want. You want stories like that, and so I was kind of just vicariously watching. Through the bird's eye, through the fly in the wall, so to speak, of all these antics that he was doing, and you know, from the stuff that was mocked on, you know, The Daily Show and the Colbert Report and Conan and Jay Leno and David Letterman and Craig Ferguson and Jimmy Kimmel, who of course had Rob Ford on. A lot of it was just kind of like buffoonery, and they compared him to Chris Farley, and so that's what a lot of people know. You know, the mayor of Toronto smoked crack cocaine, he's just a buffoon, and you would see him walking into cameras, you would see him tripping while trying to kind of put a football. I don't know a lot about footballs, I hope that that word is correct. So I guess that's what just kind of captured my attention, and I could not look away. I had to know everything about Rob Ford. He fascinated me. And the more I learned about this guy, the more interesting he became. A bit of a brief history about the Ford family is that Rob Ford's dad, Doug Ford Sr., started Deco labels and tags. And the family was millionaires, and they were very well off. Their dad, and Rob Ford's dad, because he has a brother, Doug, ran for kind of an MP and was doing that for kind of the later years of the 90s. And that kind of started the, as they would liken themselves, if the media is true to be reported, that they were kind of this political dynasty. They refer to themselves in close quarters as the Canadian Kennedys. And so, you know, Rob Ford eventually entered into politics, and he ran unsuccessfully the first time for seat in Ward 2, which is Etobicoke, his kind of his home base and his turf. He ran again in 2000. He won. And then for 10 years, he was a city councilor. And he got a lot of attention because he's a very abrasive figure. He just kind of says it as he is. And like I was saying before, he mentions there's a lot of gaffes. And he would mention in city council meetings about how the Orientals, and quote-unquote, the Orientals work like cats and dogs. And the cyclists in these city, you know, I bleed for them. But at the end of the day, it's their own fault for accidents. So stuff like that, you know, he would confront people at hockey games. He would be drunk and inebriated, and he would confront them, and then the media would kind of question him about it, and he would lie, I think probably to save face because he was embarrassed. And then it would come out later on that, oh, the couple that he harassed, or supposedly harassed, had his business cards, because that was the other thing, if you don't know about Rob Ford, that I guess was part of his legacy. He always handed out either business cards or magnets, especially when he was running for office. And it says, I have three of them myself at my house, where it just plainly says Rob Ford for mayor. It's not a flashy card or fridge magnet by any means, but it just very clearly, and he was, and I'm just going to kind of go out on a limb here, and please correct me if I'm wrong, if there are other politicians who did this, but to my knowledge, he was the only politician that phone you back. He had a connection with people because he would get back to them. You would phone Rob Ford, you would leave either a voicemail for him while he was a counselor, while he was the mayor. Sometimes you could phone his cell phone number and he would return your phone call. And that is something that politicians don't do. And not only would he return your phone call, but if you had a problem, and even when he was just a city councilor, and he was managing his own ward, which again was just Ward 2 of Etobicoke, people from other wards would eventually phone him after hearing about all the times that he would return phone calls and get stuff done. Which was probably to the ear and anger of a lot of his fellow counselors because he's making them look bad. And I don't agree with Rob Ford politically. I don't think he was a good mayor for the city of Toronto. A lot of his policies, a lot of his comments towards ethnic groups, to LGBT, personally angered me. And I didn't think that was becoming of the mayor of the largest city of Canada. But you can't say that some of his actions in terms of returning phone calls, making sure stuff was handled. So if somebody would phone Rob Ford's office and say, my pothole needs to be taken care of, he would use city resources to get it done. Well, and we can argue back and forth whether that was good or not, but he made it happen. And people are going to remember that of Rob Ford, and that's one of the reasons why he had nine lives as a politician. You know, he would make gaffe after gaffe after gaffe. He, you know, had this crack scandal going on for months. His powers were removed from council because he made Toronto and in a lot of ways Canada the laughing stock of the world in his behavior. And people asked, and now it's really interesting because in the United States we have an election going on where Donald Trump is making headlines. He is currently the front runner for the GOP, the Republican Party. And people had said, how would Rob Ford become mayor? How would he get this far? And I think what Donald Trump has proven to us is that people, for some reason, like the relatability. They like the everyman appeal and the person who tells it as it is. And Rob Ford did exactly that. People felt connected to him. So that's a little bit of the history. So probably for the last 2.5 years, I've been obsessed with Rob Ford. I ate everything that was going on. So far too that I actually went to Toronto for the 2014 mayoral election. And for people who weren't following it or weren't in Toronto, aren't even Canadian, one of the things that was really amazing about it is that just municipally, it was an election that went on for about 9 months. It started in January and it ended in October, and that's just kind of like unheard of. You know, even like federally in Canada, our elections don't go on that long. And so Rob Ford was running for election. And of course, he's dealing with the crack scandal and his powers are removed. And then you've got John Tory, who had also run unsuccessfully for years as mayor. And he's conservative or slightly less conservative than Rob Ford, but still pretty conservative. And you had Olivia Chow, who had, you know, been an MP for years and was the wife of Jack Layton, who was the leader of the NDP before his death. And he also, like Rob Ford and Rob Ford's dad, died of cancer. So it was a crazy race, and it was really interesting, and I just ate everything up of it. And going on and kind of vicariously watching all these things and seeing City Hall from my computer and seeing all these personalities and figures, I felt I had to be there. I couldn't explain to anyone else other than I had to be there to see it from my own eyes. It's almost like I couldn't believe it unless I went there. And so the last week of the election in October of 2014, I went to Toronto for a week. And I went to City Hall. I met all these interesting people. I met the I never met Rob Ford personally, but I did meet his brother Doug, who was running for mayor at that time, because Rob Ford had to step down. That was when he was first dealing with cancer. So they kind of pulled a switcheroo, which again, I can't think of any other candidate that did that. Well, I can't do it, so I'm just going to let my brother sub in for me. So I met Doug Ford, and I went to City Hall, and I left a message with Rob Ford's kind of staff, and then they gave me his cell phone number, and I phoned him up, and of course, I'd heard the stories over the last 6 months that, you know, Rob Ford phones people back. He even went on Jimmy Kimmel, because Jimmy Kimmel had supposedly phoned up his cell phone, and Rob Ford flew down to LA to be on Jimmy Kimmel, because in his own words, it was all about customer service. That was just who Rob Ford is. He really loved his celebrity. He loved the attention. But I think he also did like to help. I don't want that part to be forgotten. I think deep down, all flaws aside, he really was a tragic figure. He wanted to be liked. He wanted to be respected by people. But I think there was a lot of things that got in the way. So anyways, I had phoned his cell phone number, and you know, the week went by, and I'm busy doing things in Toronto, and at the very end of my trip, my phone went off, and it was this unknown Toronto number, and he said, "Hi, is Zeke there?" And I said, "Hi, yeah, this is Zeke, you know, who is this?" And he said, "Hi, it's Rob Ford." And then what was so staggering to me is he apologized for not getting back to me sooner. The man is dealing with cancer, which I can't even imagine. His brother is running for mayor of Toronto. He's helping out, because if you know anything about the Ford family, they stick together like glue. They'll fight off anyone who kind of attacks them or their critics, but as a family, they are very united. And he apologized for, you know, not getting back to me soon enough. And in that moment, all the things I'd wanted to say to him and say, you know, I don't think you're a great mayor. I don't like the stuff that you've done. I couldn't, because again, Rob Ford had surprised me. He had phoned me back when I didn't think he would. And that doesn't make him a great person. But I really kind of have to just reiterate that this is unheard of in politics. Not even Canadian politics, but even American politics as well. You know, politicians do not phone you back at all. And if they do, it's usually a member of their staff. It's not personally. And they don't get back to you after 4 or 5 days. So I'm left, you know, with just very kind of conflicted thoughts on this man and who he was, and I guess who he wanted to be, and my thoughts on him. On one, I was obsessed with learning as much about Rob Ford as I possibly could. He fascinated me. You know, what made him tick fascinated me. I wanted to know all the ins and outs of his family. And on the other hand, I disagreed with his politics so vehemently, and at times was outraged because he would be on a radio show or a news show, CP24 in fact, in Toronto, saying an exaggerated claim or outright lying about his record, and just angry that people believed him. But you can certainly say that Rob Ford changed the city of Toronto. He changed politics. And time will tell, and I don't want to just say it now because I think it's way too early. But one could say he actually changed Canadian politics. But that's something we won't know going forward. But I'm left conflicted. I feel very, very sad. For a man that I never met personally, that I didn't really know personally other than the massive amounts of data that I kind of collected about his life. And but I don't think he deserved to die. He had a very form of aggressive cancer, and at the end, and last Thursday, so this is almost a week ago, there were reports on Twitter that he was very sick. first of all, it was reported that he had died, and then his staff had corrected that and said, no, he is not dead, but he is ill. The family is by his bedside, and I knew that it was serious. The Ford family is a family that really likes to get media attention if they can get it. And for his brother Doug to not go to the press at all meant that it was serious. But I certainly didn't expect Rob Ford to be dead 5 days later. And like I said at the beginning, it doesn't feel real. And I don't know how I'm going to feel going forward. I'm still in shock. There's a part of me that wants to go back to Toronto just to be around people and I guess see it for myself, because this the last 2 years I was so involved in it, just trying to stay apprised of all the new knowledge that was coming in. So I'm going on a little longer than I thought. We're kind of 20 minutes in, so I'll let you guys go. I'm sure that everyone's tuned out at this point, because I think everybody is not as interested in Rob Ford as I am. So just the schedule for this week, there's going to be another kind of bonus mini-sode of Zootopia. I never got to talk about my Zootopia thoughts. Oh, wow. Almost three weeks ago now. So I got to do that soon. So that'll be a mini-sode, and then probably the end of the week, either Friday or Saturday, there'll be the third main episode of Pop Fishbowl. But, yeah, if anyone wants to further talk about this or they want me to talk about anything, you can always email me at popfishbowl@gmail.com. I'll talk to you guys in a few days. See you later. Bye.